Sissoko. Comes to Dele Alli, through to Lucas Moura! Lucas Moura has fired Spurs through to Madrid, to the Champions League final!
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to another edition of the internet's most dangerous Tottenham fucking Hotspur podcast. We're here on Wheeler Dealer Radio to talk about motherfucking Tottenham Hotspur in the motherfucking Champions League final. Guys, how you feeling? Brian, are you pumped up to watch Tottenham Hotspur in the Champions League final?
This is going to be a really shitty podcast because I don't know that I can even do words. Like,
well, I'm going to talk to Ben for a second. You go do a bump of cocaine or something to get yourself ready because we have a hell of a game to talk about. Ben, how excited are you to talk about Tottenham Hotspur in the Champions League final?
I think I'm still in shock, honestly.
You think?
I mean, I am still in shock. I mean, no, I know I'm not still in shock because I finally cried about it like an hour ago after like rewatching Lucas's third goal for like the 57th time. But I still don't believe it. I mean, holy shit. That was the most ridiculous half of football I've ever seen. It was maybe the best experience I've ever had in my life. Like, I've never felt emotions like that.
I think there's like three Spurs players since the game ended that said this is the best day of their life. Like Lucas, obviously, Dele Alli, and I think Eriksen or someone. Pochettino was crying like a baby. It looked like it was the best day of his life, too. I mean, I got to say this before we're going to get into the game, we're going to get into how we feel about it. I just want to say that if Tottenham was going to qualify for a Champions League final, this is the fucking way to do it.
We couldn't do it in like a normal fashion where, you know, we kind of walked our way through it and it was easy. And no, we would have to do it like this.
Literally last second winner. Like,
yeah.
An incredible last second. Guys, this was just, we talk about, as we've been going through the Champions League, we've been talking about this a lot, like sort of when we became Spurs fans, what we thought was possible. I never, ever thought I would see this. And I can't imagine what guys who like grew up with this team, watched them in the Sugar era or even earlier, like, think about this, but like I never thought I'd see anything like this. And I'm Tottenham in the Champions League final. We're in the Champions League final. That's insane. That's crazy. I'm so happy. I am utterly delighted. I did not think sports could make me this happy. It is so good.
I mean, I think you're overlooking the bigger accomplishment is that we clinched Champions League for next season. So.
Did we clinch it? Oh,
weekend. We still lose 9-0 to Everton. So
I forgot. Yeah, we have to make. I'm sure we're going to make time to talk about the Bournemouth game at some point today. We are definitely not doing that. I don't know. I don't even know where to start with this game, Lucas. I guess we should start with Lucas, the hero of the day.
Do we want to just do all the bad stuff first and talk about what bad stuff?
Well, Brian, I appreciate you trying to keep us on brand.
I don't want anything dumb or bad at all ever again.
Yeah. Like, Tottenham are the Champions League final.
It was good doing this podcast, guys. I guess we had a good run.
I know we have to stay extremely on brand and like take a shit on Kieran Trippier for a few minutes, but we'll do that later. I want to talk about just how great everything is, and we got to talk about Lucas Moura. The guy scored a fucking hat trick in the second half of a Champions League semifinal and pushed us through to a Champions League final. I don't know what's crazier, the fact that he did it, the fact that he got sold as like the next big thing to PSG when they first like hit the Qatari lottery, and this is how he makes a Champions League final. It's so good.
I think, you know, watching them all back, the second one is still the one that is the most impressive to me. Like, the third one, obviously, great, had all the emotions tied up.
Well, had the deli pass, too. I mean,
yeah. But the work that he did to keep the ball alive and on his foot for the second goal, to turn like three defenders and somehow with almost zero backlift just rifle the ball past, you know, however many defenders were in his way, like, it was insane. And that it was such a great technical goal.
I mean, the thing is all three of those goals were great. And as like the second half wore on and like we were looking good, but we weren't scoring, and I didn't really, I believed in like the sense that like, yeah, we all believe, but like, I did not think we were going to pull this one out. And all I wanted was just like one really special goal that I could remember and say, well, at least we didn't get blanked 3-0 in the Champions League semifinal. Like, yes, it was great that we just showed up there, and you know, I was determined to enjoy that ride, whatever the games held for us, you know, win or lose. But I just was like, I want to take something away that I can say, this is what Tottenham Hotspur were about this year. We scored this goal. It was great. It wasn't enough, whatever. And then they gave me three of those, and we won. I don't know which goal is my favorite, because they were all so good. Like, the first goal, Lucas Moura has no business getting there. I mean, he is, when that ball comes into the final third, he is way behind the play, and he just starts sprinting, and even like when the pass is made, he still looks a couple steps behind the Ajax defender and somehow still manages to nip in front of him and get there. And then the second goal, like you said, like it should have been an easy tap in for Fernando Llorente, but Fernando Llorente is not about doing things easy, and neither is anything about this team. But yeah, I mean, like you said, his control to hold that ball off three guys was ridiculous, and the finish was really good too. And then the third goal, I don't even know how Dele saw Lucas's run. He never seemed to look at him. He just sort of like was like, well, if I'm going to pass the ball to somebody, this is where it's got to go. I hope somebody else is doing the work. And then there he was, and he tucked that far post. You know, Onana kind of cheated to the near post and left some space for him, but well, holy shit.
I think all the goals really embody sort of what Tottenham were able to do today, which is, I don't think Ajax was able to handle our fitness or physicality or whatever you want to call it, because it's not like Lucas was in there throwing bows, but he was just a step ahead of Ajax on each of those goals. He was able to hold off, like, I felt like 12 defenders and a keeper on the second goal. He literally was a step ahead of Ajax on both of the other goals, where if he was a step slower, a defender gets there first. He gets the ball off right before the defender gets his foot in. It was, we were just, you know, one step ahead of Ajax in the second half, and we started to impose ourselves. And, you know, you throw in, like, Llorente disrupting things in their defense and laying the ball off to guys and letting Son and Lucas sort of do what they're good at. I mean, we just really started to impose ourselves on them, and I think that's what really turned the game around.
I mean, to me, what you mentioned Llorente there, and it wasn't so much about our fitness, because I think our players still look tired, but it was all those things that Pochettino always talks about, like desire and passion and hard work, and it was like, that's what guys that we...
Kaylee is rolling over in his grave right now.
I know, but he's not here, so I can say all this. But like, it's what
would you say he's pivoting maybe twice?
Yeah, I would say he's pivoting in his grave. You know, it's like, and it was the guys that we as a fan base and we as a podcast tend to bag on all the time, like Fernando Llorente and Moussa Sissoko, who were out there doing that work and made this possible. Like, Fernando Llorente was a human wrecking ball out there.
He's been a wrecking ball the entire Champions League campaign. Europe doesn't know what to do with him.
And it's just like, it's like, look, I understand that he wasn't matched up against De Ligt, and De Ligt is still very good. I think he's great. He looked awesome this game. But, like, he's going to win every aerial battle if he's matched up against Daley Blind. That's just what he did. And we got all the second balls because our midfielders were making runs and working their asses off. And even when we only had one person in midfield that was in, everything worked, and we were the first to everything because it looked like we wanted it more. And if you looked at this team in the last two games, like, that was
what are you saying about the Bournemouth game, Brian?
I mean, we can talk about that game, but let's not. But, like, we didn't play like that. Like that,
yeah. We didn't look like we wanted anything. And yeah. Then...
No, we looked like we wanted to go to the beach, is what we looked like.
Well, that's conveniently...
Or the Europa League, one or the other.
But it was just like, that was the thing that blew me away, because I thought it would be very easy to come out after halftime and be a little listless, like to be like, oh, you know, we had some chances there, they got two goals, like now we're screwed. And then you get that first goal, and he's like, okay, maybe. And then you get a second one, you're like, holy shit, could we maybe? And
well, then we had like five clear-cut chances get denied.
But the thing is we just never stopped. Like it would have been so easy to just stop after the Vertonghen chances, you know, and like because that like watching it that felt like, oh, that was our opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Like, every chance felt like that. Like when Toby headed wide, I was like, that was it. And then when Vertonghen hit the bar, I was like, well, that was it. Like every we had so many opportunities where I was like, well, that was our one moment and it's over. And they didn't believe that. And you're right, they just kept at it. Like, that last chance was like a Sissoko prayer, just sort of launching that ball downfield and hoping for the best. And Fernando Llorente managed to flick it onto Dele. And
Ben, how dare you imply that Sissoko didn't know exactly what he was doing? How dare you? here on the home of the Moussa Sissoko news desk, how dare you?
Where's Rob?
He's too busy streaking down the streets of Washington Heights celebrating.
And the thing about it is we beat Ajax, who played, you know, at times during the first half, this beautiful, flowing, attacking football that was just breaking our press with ease. And we beat him by kicking it at the big guy's head and then picking up the second ball.
Fucking amazing.
And just running past them. I was like, oh, yes, this is...
Yeah. It's like, oh, your
Red Depp would have been very proud.
Your pretty little passing triangles are real nice. How about you form a triangle of collapsed players after we break your hearts at the 95th minute?
That was a great Twitter joke. I don't know who made that.
Yeah, me neither, but it was pretty good.
Proper English in it.
It was... I was almost in, like, a clinical depression. I got so annoyed earlier this week at Liverpool 1. I'm like... Fuck these assholes. Why does everything work out for them? I know they're probably not going to win the league or the championship. Well, at this point, who knows? But, you know, why does everything work out for them? Why do they get to have nights like this? This shit never happens to the Spurs. We always have these, like, we always get close, have to settle for these fucking moral victories. And then we had a game like this, which is exactly the kind of thing I, like, this is exactly how I would have scripted this game out. If I was planning this like professional wrestling, this is exactly how I'd want to go to the finals of the Champions League. I would want some fucking bullshit first half that we completely overcome in the second, and we score at the absolute death of the game to win it. It was, I don't know if I've ever been this emotional in a single game. Maybe there's a few in my life that I could think of, but like, this was, it was incredible. It was genuinely incredible. And as much as like sports are bad and I hate sports and I don't know why I get so emotionally tangled up in something that I have zero control over, like moments like this are why we actually do it. Because this was, I was crying at my desk in my office. It was just, it was incredible. It was incredible. We're in the Champions League final. I can't fucking believe it. And we did it in the best way possible. Or at least the most fun way possible.
It wasn't fun. I mean,
after the fact. After the fact. After the fact, it was fun.
It was fun once it was all over.
Oh God, it was.
So okay, if putting Lucas aside because he scored the three goals and that's obviously the most important. Other than that, who's your guy's man of the match?
Llorente, kinda. I mean, other guys. I mean, Dele had more important moments, but I think Llorente's presence changed the game or helped change the game.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Llorente changed the game, and I think, you know, tactically in that second half, Ajax, for whatever reason, this is in the first half, or the first leg, too, where they just felt comfortable protecting that lead and stood off of us just a little bit. And I think somehow, twice in a row, they were surprised by what standing off of us allowed us to do. Because in the first game, you know, after the first half, we came onto them pretty strong, and we had our opportunities, we just didn't take them. And I'm surprised that they thought, like, they could ride that luck a second time because, I mean, we were up their shit. And, you know, we gave it to them. And,
well, and unlike,
you know,
unlike the last game, we were creating a lot of chances in this game. We were much more on top of them in the second half in that first game, but we weren't. I don't feel like we were creating chances like we were today.
Yeah, I mean, like, Dele was another game fit. We had Sun back. You know, like, we were just a better version of ourselves.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But, you know, I mean, we saw last game where Fernando Llorente was pretty ineffective in the first half. And then once we kind of shifted our formation, took off a defensive midfielder, and we kind of went for it a little bit, you know, and brought on Sissoko, you know, we were able to get at them. And we switched to that exact same sort of lineup in the second half of this game, and it did the exact same thing to them. And I mean, I think it's just really bad management, honestly, from Ajax's manager to not expect that, to not know how to handle that.
It feels like they were really lulled in this false sense of security by how we played them in the first 30 minutes without Sissoko. Like, you know, Pochettino was gambling essentially in those minutes because Sissoko was hurt, and he didn't want to use him if he didn't have to. But it just seemed like they never had an answer. And you know, I didn't watch those other games closely because I didn't think we'd be playing them. But you'd think a team that played Real Madrid and you know all these other teams in the Champions League, they would have had more of an answer for. I mean, I know he's great, but Moussa Sissoko, and they just, like you said, Ben, it seems like they were just thinking things were going to resolve themselves, and they never did.
I mean, I think by and large, like, it was our physicality that won the day. Like, Sissoko was bossing dudes in midfield. Like, they're very technical. They press very well, and they, you know, can control games, as we've seen, you know, really well. But they couldn't handle Sissoko in midfield. And in the first half, we couldn't really, like, we couldn't bypass midfield. Like, we had Sissoko and Wanyama, like, even when they would win the ball, they couldn't do anything with it. And we would go long, and there'd be nobody up there, and nothing would happen. And again, in both games, once Fernando Llorente kind of became like this forward pivot option with two guys behind him to like lay off to, you know, they had no answer for Llorente in the air, and that gave us so much more space and so much more of the pitch to play with because we were no longer, you know, fighting to get it out of our own half.
Ben, you know what they say. Everyone's got a formation until Moussa Sissoko's shoulder hits you in the mouth. It's just...
That's right.
Anyway, it was interesting to me because, you know, like Ben said, Ajax are set up to control games, and they should be able to control possession. And, you know, they didn't in the second half. And I don't know if that was...
I mean, like they hit the post the one time, but you're right. I did not feel like they were a very dangerous team after
that. But it's
halftime.
Just like, once it got back to 2-2... they got on the ball for a little bit, and you thought, I know I felt that after we scored the second goal, it felt like we didn't have possession for another 10 or 15 minutes. But like that's when they really could have and should have held on and killed the game off. And their midfield just didn't do a good job of recycling possession and of just, you know, being simple and holding on to the ball. And like De Jong was doing a decent job, but Lasachon and Van Der Beek is the other midfielder. They're not that good.
You know why? Because they're all frauds. They all suck. Because they're not as good as Tottenham. That's why. Tottenham Hotspur beat them to make the finals of the Champions League.
Yeah, and I mean, we had one midfielder, and it was Christian Eriksen at that point. And it was just like, oh, you guys should probably be doing better than this. I don't know.
I hope really. We sign somebody from Ajax, yeah. And they just have to live with the existential like ennui of like coming to Spurs and like just watch it, just having to live with it every day. Like, you couldn't beat us. You could have been in a Champions League final, but you weren't.
I mean, the other thing about like in terms of fitness and physicality is their press in the first half was relentless, and we couldn't do anything with the ball. We couldn't move the ball in midfield. You know, the second goal, I guess, was Kieran Trippier and Moussa Sissoko getting pressed out of possession in our own half, and that leading to a chance for them that Ziyech curled in. And, you know, that kind of disappeared in the second half. And I think that's kind of the area where fitness really does tell, is they just couldn't keep up with us over 90 minutes and keep playing that game. And I think that was kind of the death of them. I mean, once they gave us the space to operate, you know, we're just a better team. We have better players. Like, they have a great coach, a great attacking philosophy. They have some really talented guys, but you know, they just didn't have the legs for it. I think that's really a big part of it. It's hard to press a team for 90 minutes like that. And usually a team like Ajax in their league, they can press you out of the game enough that, you know, it's a moot point. And at 2-0, 3-0 on aggregate, it maybe should have been. But, you know, we're fucking Tottenham Hotspur, baby.
Yeah, and Lucas Moura was having a good day at the office, so.
I mean, Klopp called, you know, his team, what did he call it, like mentality monsters or something like that.
Oh, God, does he really say that?
It was something to that effect, something and it was gross when he said it, and I was just like, ugh, sure you are. That's definitely what Spurs are after these last two Champions League rounds. Like, you know, to come out at halftime down 3-0, 2-0 on the day, and know you have to score, you know, at that point we had to score three, right? Yeah, we had to score three. I mean, you know, that would have broken a lot of teams. A lot of teams, you know, you would have pushed and you would have tried, but...
It would have broken a lot of old Tottenham teams, I mean...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and, you know, that's a testament to Pochettino, that's a testament to the leadership within the team, that's a testament to the players that the club has bought.
It's a real testament. I think we shouldn't underestimate the team that we have, because... This team did this without a lot of their best players, and a lot of those guys were hurt too. Huh?
Who were we missing besides Kane?
Winks,
Moussa Dembélé.
Yeah.
Oh right. I mean, this isn't so much that we didn't have our best players; is that once again we didn't sign a midfield this summer, and so we didn't have any best players to play that role. We were relying on Moussa Sissoko and a broken ass Victor Wanyama, and that was our team. But I mean. Aside from Harry Kane, I mean, this is the team that we would have put out there.
You don't think a fit Winks would have been in that squad?
Yeah. I mean, over Wanyama, I think if Harry Winks had been fit, but, you know, I think Harry Winks is only one of our best players by default because we don't have an actual midfield. That's not to take away from, you know, Harry Winks' very impressive accomplishments this season. It's just that... Harry Winks is not a Champions League finalist midfielder.
Not like Moussa Sissoko. I mean, I think my point stands in terms of all the injuries, of all everything that's gone wrong. You know, it would have been very easy for this team to give up. And it was just, they didn't. I mean, they busted their ass and they really pulled it out. It was incredible. I mean, it was genuinely incredible to watch what they did. I know some people are going to poo-poo it, like, oh, it's Ajax. Well, Ajax beat a lot of better teams than us. They didn't, like, Real Madrid didn't get their shit together.
Yeah, I mean, they're not better teams than us because they're not in the Champions League final, so.
It's...
Yeah, by definition, we're one of the two best teams in Europe. That's how this works now.
No, that's exactly how this works. I mean...
Sorry, Man City. I don't make the rules.
Manchester City still hasn't been to a Champions League final. PSG still hasn't been to a Champions League final. You know who has been to a Champions League final? Tottenham Hotspur. You know who's been to more Champions League finals than us? Not Arsenal.
That's the thing that still amazes me is, like, you know, Manchester City and PSG have these, like, long-term projects, quote-unquote, that they've set up. And their project is basically throwing hundreds of millions of pounds and euros at the best players in the world to come and make their team the best in the world and get them to, you know, a Champions League semifinal, let alone a Champions League final. And they didn't. They haven't. And we did. And we didn't sign anybody. And our net spend is, like, I don't know, 4 over the past 3 years. It's like...
Knockout competitions are weird, baby.
And they're great.
The best thing is, even if we lose a Champions League final... And Liverpool win the Champions League and Man City win the league, they will both be unhappy because they both wanted the other trophy more. And that is some small comfort for whatever happens next. But it doesn't matter because we're going to win, so it's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're in a Champions League final, guys.
It just doesn't seem real still.
It doesn't. It's I think after Sunday, like... it's going to feel a lot realer. It's like, it starts to sink in of like, this is who we are. This is who we need to play.
Yeah.
This is what the matchups are going to be. This is what the fitness is looking like. There's no league to distract anyone anymore. I mean,
it's going to be a long 3 weeks of anticipation. My God, it will kill me.
It really is. But hey, at least we already haven't made like weird promises and bets with each other about what we're going to do if they win. So
yeah, you know, no big deal. Really looking forward to the live edition of Wheeler Dealer Radio from Madrid.
Brian, you missed this conversation, but Greg and I agree that we're getting Spurs tattoos if we win. Are you in?
Yes, I will get a Spurs tattoo if we win the Champions League.
Hell, let's. We talked about that a little bit at the beginning, but like, Ben, we're in the Champions League final. Like, how? Put that in context. I don't know. Like, how fucking crazy is this? Like,
it's the craziest thing to literally ever happen in sports, especially the way that it happened. I mean, it was just so improbable at every step of the way. I tweeted this out earlier, but like, the whole campaign has been a series of late drama and crazy last minute antics, win or lose. So in the first game, Inter beat us in the 92nd minute. And then against Barcelona, it was 3-2 until Barcelona killed us in the 90th minute. Against PSV in the first game, they beat us in the 80th, or they drew us in the 87th minute. The next game, we beat PSV in the 89th minute. Then we beat Inter in the 80th minute. We drew Barcelona in the 85th minute. We beat Man City in the 79th minute. We had the VAR shenanigans against Man City in the 90-something minute. And then we beat Ajax in the 95th minute. Like, those are all insane. Like, for that to happen a couple times is, like, nuts. To have a kind of that late drama, that late winner, those late fireworks. Like, that shouldn't happen in 8 fucking games. But that was our Champions League campaign. It was just every game was down to the wire, by the skin of our teeth. You know, the odds on this happening were nothing. After we drew PSV and had 1 point from our first 3 games, you know, we were at less than 1% chances to win the final, less than 12% to even make it to the round of 16. Like, We should not be here. None of this makes any sense. This has been utterly insane.
Let's not forget too. This is a competition that has been relatively calcified at the top too. Like, Atletico sort of snuck it in recent years, but it's been the same teams over and over. I guess Liverpool have to an extent, but this is. I feel like us being here is.
So in the last 12 years, there have been 11 teams in the Champions League final, out of the 24 possible teams. And we're one of those 11 teams.
And this is the first year it doesn't feature one of Barcelona or Real Madrid. And I think, yeah, and it's also the first year it doesn't feature one of Messi or Ronaldo.
I mean, this is...
I think that includes the Man U-Chelsea final, but yes.
Okay, all right, so in the last 10 years or whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a fucking while.
I mean, is Spurs being in the final as weird as, like, Porto or Deportivo, like back in 2004? Like, is it that level of strange?
It should be. I mean,
Spurs are obviously better funded than those teams were in comparison.
Right. I mean, you know, like, we are the 6th biggest team in England, which that is technically bigger than the biggest team in Portugal or whatever.
The biggest team in Galicia. Like,
yeah. Or like Marseille when they made it to the Champions League. Like, but it's up there. I mean, like, no one expected this. No one would have put odds on this before the season, especially in our group where we drew Barcelona, Inter, and PSV, and then we've had to go through, you know, Dortmund before we got here. Like, we've had a tough road. You know, this is an unexpected final appearance, for sure.
I just didn't think, like, I could have a happier, like, more weird and joyous sports moment than the Manchester City loss.
And yet here we are.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, okay, that 4-3 game was insane. And, you know, it supplanted the Bale 4-3 game. And, you know, like...
Those teams feel like such a distant memory to me right now. Like, I thought Gareth Bale was, when I remember watching him, because that was not too long after I became a Spurs fan, it was like, this is going to be the best Tottenham player it's going to be like a generation before I see a better Tottenham player than him. I think there's probably like four guys on this team who have had better Spurs careers than him, and like certainly like one or two better like soccer players than Bale was at Spurs. It's just, it's fucking crazy how far we've come.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, the Man City game where a VAR ruled out a 92nd minute or whatever winner, like, you do not expect that, like, whatever happened, we would experience something more insane and more dramatic than that. And somehow we did. Even after, like, yesterday, I was like, wow, you know, whatever, miracle in Istanbul, that's great, but, like, that was arguably a more insane comeback, and it happened. And I was like, well, we're not going to see that again for a while. That I was like, I was watching that game, and I was just feeling like, God, it must be so good to be a Liverpool fan right now. Like, just how good must that feel to, like, just defy all odds, to come down from 3-0 down and come back and do the damn thing and do it and win it and get to a Champions League final, like, that is a miracle I will never experience, and I'm just so jealous of what that feeling must feel like for those fans. And then 24 hours later, arguably a more insane comeback happened.
And I don't even. I mean, it's definitely a more insane comeback. I mean, I don't think there's any argument to it.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't score.
Barcelona are a better team than Ajax, but
they didn't score twice in that game.
Not in one game. And
we did it on the road. They did it at Anfield in front of their own fans.
That's right. And we finally won in like the 95th minute, not earlier. Yeah, there's the greatest comeback in sporting history, dare I say.
You talk about goals like the one Lucas scored. Like, you want to see goals like that happen, and they never happen. You never score like that late. Or at least it feels like your team never does it. And we did it in the most, like, the most high-leverage situation of our entire season to date. I don't want to say situation possible, because it's not a Champions League or World Cup final. But, I mean, it's harder to imagine a more...
It's about to be a Champions League final.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to imagine a higher-leverage situation than that for Lucas Moura to need to score a goal. And he didn't fluff his lines at all. He did him and Dele Alli did the most improbable thing in an incredibly small amount of space. And it was incredible. It was.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of goal that you like dream about as a kid. Yes. Like, when you bring around in the backyard or whatever, you're like, all right, it's the 96th minute of the semifinal and you need a goal to advance. And that is 100% what that is. And then everything in my Spurs fandom has prepared me for those goals to happen to us. And nothing, not even the Manchester City game, had prepared me for that to happen for us.
I think it's worth pointing out, like, over the course of our sort of lives as Spurs fans, over the course of, like, Levy's ownership of the team, like, that sort of era of Tottenham, it's like, we do seem to keep climbing these stairs of highs where it's like, life doesn't get any better than this. Like, you beat the defending European champions of Europe in a Champions League group game, and one of our guys just, like, shows himself off as the best in the world. Can't get better than this. You know, oh, well, you know, we've had like five moments better than that since then. It's like, you know, we keep improving, we keep moving on. And I was getting frustrated at halftime because I was like, oh, this is our ceiling. This is like the best generation of Spurs that we're going to have for a long time. And I don't know if we can't fucking beat our college feeder team, you know, I don't know what we expect to do or how we're going to have this opportunity again. Well, maybe they didn't squander this opportunity, and it was pretty fucking incredible.
Now maybe we'll sign some players because we'll be like, look, we're Champions League finalists.
Look, if Daniel Levy didn't, like, pigeonhole, like, Eriksen in the fucking, like, bathroom on the plane back with a new contract, like, I don't know what he's doing. Because he should assign everybody to an extension after that game.
Except
Trippier. Except Trippier, yes.
Everybody else, though.
No, like God, like just go to like Toby and Erickson and be like, guys, isn't this great? You should sign a contract with us for next year.
I was
blown away a little bit by how emotional the players and coaching staff were. I mean, Pochettino was bawling. I mean, and I understand why, but like sort of seeing it is one thing. You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to like imagining what this must mean to him. I mean, he was crying like a baby after that game.
Yeah, I mean, that was it was weird. I mean, you know, you expect the outpouring of excitement and joy, but I guess, I mean, Pochettino always speaks in very, you know, glowing and passionate and emotional terms about the game of football and what it takes to play it. But I guess it was just seeing him with, like, tears down his face and like his face bright red, hugging all the players, hugging his assistants, like the moment where he falls to his knees on the sidelines and is like pounding the turf, and it's just like, oh shit,
he broke down again in the press conference, like he's talking about the game and he can't hold it together. It was incredible.
I mean it's just like oh yeah, this is, you know, this does mean things to these players. Like, you know, Pochettino talked about in that interview, he talks about, you know, this kind of emotion he feels like is only possible through sport, and you know, he has to thank football for the emotions that it brings out in him and his players, and like, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine feeling like that,
and this
from any other experience. I don't know. I mean
Ben, we've talked about this before, about like, I don't understand what it's like to root for a trophy monster, a team that just wins all the time. And I think today you could see, like, and I think it would have been the same for Ajax, because they don't win this kind of thing very often, but, like, it feels like it means more for a team like Spurs to do this than a team like Real Madrid or Barcelona, which isn't to, like, devalue or say that it doesn't matter when they win things, but, like, Barcelona's going to win the league this year, and they think it's kind of like, like, we didn't win the Champions League. We got knocked out in kind of embarrassing fashion. Like, you could see what this meant to Spurs players. And when we talk about, like, where, oh, does Pochettino want to leave or whatever? Like, I think that's one of the reasons he doesn't. He gets to be, like, king of his own hill here. And every accomplishment he has at Spurs is all the more impressive because it's Spurs. And maybe I'm overrating that, and he would just like an easier life where he can buy whatever players he wants. But I don't know if you see that. I feel like it takes so much more to get that outpouring of emotion at a team like Real Madrid.
I mean, absolutely. A team like Spurs, and this is not to devalue anything about it, but getting to a Champions League final is a huge deal. We've never done it before. Like, obviously, it's not winning a trophy. It is not getting the job done, but it is an unbelievable moment that none of us really ever expected we would see in our lifetimes, and here we are. You know, for Barcelona, who has been in the Champions League final, like, 8 times in the last 20 years, getting to a Champions League final is step one before the inevitable winning of the Champions League. You know, it is, yeah, it's just, there's no way for it to feel like a momentous occasion when it's an occasion you've experienced so often and won so often. You know, losing the Champions League to them would be, you know, a reason to fire a manager and sell players. If we lose the Champions League, I'm still very happy, and Daniel Levy is still very happy with everything that got us there. And we're not sacking Poch as a result, you know. It's just, you know, your expectations shift based on your success. That's inevitable.
Yes.
You know, when you win the league all the time, not winning the league is bad. So, I mean, that's for me, as a fan of a sports team, you know, I enjoy that underdog kind of mentality. I like being a fan of a team that isn't just this all-conquering behemoth, because, you know, the opportunities for disappointment are way greater than the opportunities for success. Like, even a title feels like that was the minimum expectation to begin with. So how can I feel joy about this when that was the baseline expectation for my season? You know, what ends up happening far more often is you just feel disappointment that you didn't meet these outrageous expectations you had in the first place. For Spurs, I have very, very low expectations. And, you know, it's great. We've overperformed them year after year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that, what have we lost in the league? 13 games in the Premier League this year? And,
something like that.
And it's just like, we're going to, as long as we finish in the top four, that's fine for now. And then you add on the cherry of, we get to play in a Champions League and a Champions League final. I mean, great.
Fucking great. The best season ever.
This is amazing. I mean, you know, this is, you know, better than finishing second, better than that season where we were almost in a title race but somehow finished third. Like,
yeah, you want to see, you want to know how great it is? Go to Arsenal Reddit. Go check the city's go check a city blog. Like, see what they think of this. Like, they're extremely angry that we're doing this and not them.
And I mean, of course, as we all know, being able to be petty to other fan bases is the only reason why you should win football games.
Yes. No, but I'm not saying, yeah, I mean, yes, I'm also saying that. What I'm saying is, like, if anyone wants to try to, like, devalue what we've accomplished today or how much this means to Spurs fans, like, go fucking read what those assholes are saying about us. Like, that should tell you how much, like, you know, like, that is acting out. Like, this means a lot. We should be extremely proud of what we've done, and we should not settle for it. We should fucking go out there and figure out a way to beat Liverpool, which is way easier said than done, and we're going to have weeks to talk about that, so we're not going to talk about it tonight. But this is a huge accomplishment, and you shouldn't let anyone tell you otherwise, because it absolutely is.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Best day ever.
I don't even know what else to say about that. Like, Moussa Sissoko was a key player in a champion to put Tottenham Hotspur into a Champions League semifinal. There's a great video clip of the players celebrating with the fans after the game, and Sissoko's walking over, and the fans, as when they see him, they start singing the Moussa Sissoko song. And not only does Moussa Sissoko, you know, look like he just won the lottery with the look on his face, it's like all the players around him are clearly delighted that the Spurs fans have started singing this song, and they're all pointing at Sissoko. And it's just, you think of what we were calling him a donkey, we were calling him a waste of space, I can't believe we paid this much for this asshole, and now he's like a key component of our Champions League squad. And yes, we should probably have better players than Moussa Sissoko starting on our team, but the fact of the matter that A, he's able to do this himself. B, that Pochettino has found a way to use him. It's just incredible. And there's like a million stories like that on this team. It's just, I fucking love this team. I love what they've been able to do. I love you guys. I love everything about Tottenham. I love Tottenham fans. It's just incredible. I'm so happy right now.
I mean, look, I watched us qualify for the Champions League the first time. I watched us win the League Cup in 2009 or whatever, 2008, whatever year that was. This feels better, and it's not winning a trophy. There's no tangible accomplishment, you know.
Both of those. Oh God, like, we're turning into Arsenal fans.
Yeah, no, we're going to watch a team in a Champions League final, Brian. We're definitely not turning into Arsenal fans.
Oh yeah, good point. You got me there.
It's just, you know, I mean, we put so much stock in the top four and winning trophies and all these things, and like, they're great. But they're both long, long slogs, and, you know, the FA Cup and the League Cup are, I'm sure, are very respectable trophies that mean a lot to some people somewhere. But just the moment that we experienced today tops all of it. I mean, it was just so unlikely, so improbable, and, you know, just the outpouring of emotion from all the players and the coaches and the staff and the fans and me and everything. It was just, I've just never felt like that in my life.
No, it was, did anyone on this podcast not end up crying as a result of the game?
No, it took me like 2 hours for like the shock to wear off. And then like I said, like I watched Lucas Moura's game winner one more time, and that finally set off the tears.
By the way, before we forget, it's worth noting who helped us win this game by getting us Lucas Moura, right, Ben?
Oh, yeah. As it turns out, the PSG manager who found Lucas Moura surplus to requirements and sold him to Tottenham Hotspur was none other than Unai Emery, Arsenal's illustrious business casual Dracula manager.
Since we've entered the making fun of Arsenal portion of the show, think about this for a second. We win the Champions League. Arsenal win the Europa League. August 14th, 2019.
Oh, God.
Istanbul.
Oh,
European
God.
Super Cup.
Holy shit, I forgot Tottenham, about that.
Tottenham versus Arsenal in Istanbul.
You know the best thing about that game? No matter who wins, we actually win because...
yeah. Even if we... Because no one cares about that trophy.
And all it'll do is remind Arsenal fans...
won the Champions League.
Yeah, how? Why were you playing Tottenham in the Super Cup? Well, funny story.
But then if we win, we won the European Super Cup and we beat them on the way to it.
So I literally don't care, but I want to win the Champions League. I don't give a fuck about Arsenal. Like, I mean, I will if we actually win and I can make fun of them. But my first priority is that. I want to win the Champions League.
Yeah. And like you said, we'll talk about, you know, Liverpool and the challenges they present. But, I mean, both teams so far have had great runs to get here. And... It should be a hell of a game.
It's
yeah.
I hope
this is not like last year where they like shot their way through some bullshit ties against Porto and whoever the fuck else they had to play.
City,
not
City
and
Roma. Yeah,
yeah, Roma, Shmoma. Man City was hard, but I feel like they had a. Did they have an easy round of 16 draw?
City was the only really tough game they had in their sort of knockout.
No. This season.
Oh,
did they play Porto again? Or
yes, they did. They did play Porto again.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Honestly, it's proof that Margaret Thatcher. It's proof that Margaret Thatcher is running UEFA that they didn't get to play Porto in the semifinal.
Credit to Liverpool. I feel like they earned it this time in a way they didn't last time. And I feel less salty about their presence, probably because we're there too. But.
Here's hoping Danny Rose embraces his inner Sergio Ramos.
I mean,
dislocate Salah's shoulder? Is that what you're hoping for?
I mean, I don't wish injury on anybody, but, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I wish a lot of injuries on everybody. I hope they're not career-threatening. I hope they recover in a timely manner this summer. To get ready for next season, and I hope everybody at Liverpool comes down with a horrible case of food poisoning on May 31st.
Yeah, let's get some chefs into making some lasagna in Madrid.
Gee, oh man, I can't. Well, we're going to Madrid, guys.
This is I can't believe we did it. Like it's not just that we won the game today. It's I can't believe we have. Like you said, Ben, we've been we've been getting out of each round, each game by the skin of our teeth. And we're here. We did it. We fucking did it. We're in the Champions League final. It's so good.
Yeah. Gonna go all the way to Madrid to play a Premier League match.
The dream of the 39th, what is it, the 39th match, 38th? What was it?
Yeah, the third chance match.
Yeah, it's finally here.
Someone just posted in our writers' room that a tweet from BT Sport that said, you know, Gini Wijnaldum and Moussa Sissoko were relegated their one season together as Newcastle teammates, and now they line up against each other in the Champions League final.
Just like we all planned.
Yeah, those two guys have been integral to their team's success this year.
It's. I can't say enough good things about Moussa Sissoko. God bless that man. God bless him for putting his head down, pushing through it. Like,
really glad he doesn't listen to our podcast.
No, I'm.
I don't feel like I was wrong about any of the things that said about Moussa Sissoko, but I feel really bad about saying.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he actually deserves a lot of credit because that guy got a lot of abuse, not just online, but like in the stadium, and he really, like, I mean. Pochettino deserves credit for like figuring out how to utilize him, but he really did work his ass off and get himself into a place where, I mean, he is a key cog in this team. And like I said, we should probably get another player, but who's better than him to fit in our midfield. But having him as like option B or C would be like fantastic. Like, kind of how Liverpool used Wijnaldum, actually.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Wijnaldum came off the bench for an injured fullback, and we had an injured fullback go off so Mississippi could play fullback. It's kind of similar.
Other, Danny Rose was here. I said this last time. I'm so happy Danny Rose is on this team. I'm so happy. He feels like the one through line of, like, my Spurs
fandom. Can we talk about Danny Rose drinking a beer on the fucking pitch?
Grabbing his dick at the same time? Like, yeah, it's Danny Rose is amazing. Like,
he just grabbed a Heineken from somebody in the stands. Like, oh, you're not going to finish that? Great, cool, thanks.
And he was such a beautiful shithouse all game. The way he baited Ziyech into a yellow card and just sort of fought with him petulantly all game was really, really beautiful to behold. I think it deserves more attention in the scheme of that match. He was just a real banter merchant out there, and it was awesome. And also, you know, our first goal started with Danny Rose nutmegging him to send a long ball downfield before we scored. So, long live Danny Rose.
God bless Daniel Rose. He is just incredible. It's, who else do we want to sing the praises of? I feel like we should sing the praises of everyone except for Kieran Trippier.
Everybody.
I mean, Hugo Lloris. We haven't said Hugo Lloris's name yet.
Hugo Lloris had some great saves today. Hugo Lloris, I feel like, was getting a lot of undeserved shit. Like, obviously, he sucked in that Liverpool game. Everyone talking about, oh, Gosseninga needs to start. No, Hugo Lloris is, like, directly saved our season on, like, three occasions. He is, like, actually stopping penalties this year. Hugo Lloris, like, should not, like, should learn how to, like, I don't want to say an Uber or Lyft because he shouldn't, like, cross the picket line, but he should get, like, car services more often. But that guy has had a great final fourth of the season.
Oh, but his distribution is so bad. He
you know what?
It
fuck it. He's been stopping penalties. Like,
yeah, I'm just like, I mean,
his distribution is bad. Like, that's true. That's fair to talk about. But he's still a fantastic keeper.
I mean,
he's better than De Gea this year. I mean,
except that time De Gea played us. And
yeah, well, of course. I mean, Dr. Tottenham's always there to help, but
yeah. I mean, you know, those two saves that he makes, well, I guess they were in the first half, or were they in the second? I don't even remember anymore. I mean, those were two great saves in pretty quick succession. And, I mean, he pushes them kind of into dangerous areas, but we didn't get punished, so it's fine. I mean, God. I mean, everybody was good. Eriksen was good. Dele was good. Son was, you know, quiet, but, you know, he stretched the field and he made all the runs and pulled people out of position. And I don't know. Everybody was great. Everybody was fucking great.
It was Llorente was incredible. Llorente, what a – that guy's earned every penny. He can come back next year just off the back of this. Like, really, that guy's been a Champions League killer. I mean,
will come back next year just off the back of this. Just
Ben, weren't there some crazy numbers around what he's been able to do in the Champions League this year?
So in about 1,400 minutes, Llorente has 5 goals and 6 assists.
This is just in the Champions League.
Shit, I don't know if that's Champions League or his whole season. Either way, it's a very good performance from Fernando Llorente. I
mean, he's been a key player in, like, 3 or 4 Champions League matches. 2 or 3 of them have been knockout games. I think he's worth it. Like, he is a backup striker who doesn't bitch and moan. I'd like a better one, but frankly, like, we don't have to worry about him complaining off the bench. He has gotten some key goals and assists for us when we needed it. And frankly, he has been a problem in Europe. So,
yeah, I mean, like, his hip goal against City and whatever he did today against Ajax, like, that alone justifies his transfer fee, frankly. Like, yes, we should have bought better, and maybe our league performance would have been better with a better striker. Maybe our Champions League campaign last year wouldn't have ended in tears if we had a better striker off the bench. But what he has given us on the pitch has been a little erratic, but when it's been good, it's been so good that you can't say anything for it other than way to go, Fernando.
Well, do you think it's a coincidence he's been so good in Europe as opposed to the league where, like, guys just aren't used to his physicality? Which is funny saying that about a Spanish player. Maybe not that surprising saying it about a Basque player, but
I definitely do. I mean, I think, you know, Fernando has had a lot of success in Spain and Italy on the back of physicality in a league that is less physical. He's very large. He's very tall. He's a a real handful for defenders, as, you know, your dad would say. But, you know, in the Champions League against European sides and Man City, I guess, that's the case maybe, him being a big asshole has been problematic. Like, teams don't know how to handle it. I mean, Ajax especially, you know, they are not used to playing against guys who will just rough them up the way that Fernando has.
Would you say
they're all very cute and technical and nice on the ball with their feet, and, like, you know, they contribute in midfield and it's all very adorable and everyone finds it very precious and blah blah blah, but you put a big fucker on them and they can't win a header, so what are you gonna do?
That's part of the game. Would you say they were an absolute awe at the size of that unit?
I would say that.
Dele, I think, deserves a little bit of a mention. The guy's clearly playing hurt. I think, I mean, his hands obviously fucked up. He's probably still dealing with groin issues. But I mean, laid off some really fucking good passes today. No, I mean, that pass for the final goal was incredible. I mean, in no space, finding Mora, like you guys said earlier, probably not even looking for him, or at least didn't know exactly where he was. Inch perfect, just. God bless Dele Alli. I mean,
yeah, and Dele had a rocky game, especially in the first half. He was pretty invisible. He overplayed. He didn't pass when he should have. He got the ball taken off of him a lot. And, you know, he fought for it, and he had a great second half and was integral to, you know, a lot of our best moments. I mean, even Son, too. I think Son had a pretty rocky game. You know, he had some good shots. He hit one off the post. But he did not look like the Heung-min Son who we were talked about as, like, oh, is Heung-min Son actually our best player? Like, we did not get that version of Sonny today.
Do you feel like the occasion sort of... Do you think the expectations sort of got to him, like, especially after the Bournemouth game? Like, this was maybe his last game of the year. Son, we missed you in that first game. Like, do you think he was overplaying it, trying too hard?
I don't know. I don't want to delve into the psychology of anybody, honestly.
But you don't want to get into body language, doctor? Like,
I mean, you know, whatever. He was working his ass off. He definitely was out there pushing the whole game. And, you know, when he had his moments, he took them. You know, they weren't in front of goal. They weren't scoring. But, you know, he played that ball into Trippier for the second goal before Trippier fed it across the face of goal for your idea to miss. You know, he was very involved in if not all of our chances, at least a couple of them. The only players, honestly, who were the only player who was actually bad was Wanyama.
Well, Trippier,
and I think he got hurt early, and that was not helping him at all. And you know, we haven't seen a very good version of Wanyama really this season at all, and that's a shame because at his best we know what he can be. And yeah, Trippier was kind of a mess defensively. He was obviously at fault for the second goal, but again, he put that ball across the face of goal for Llorente that led to the second goal. Like, he contributed, you know, like everybody played their part pretty much besides Wanyama. And I love everybody.
We fucking did it, boys. It was great. I think one of the things that's been really great, we all talked about, all of us cried over this match. There have been videos of, like, I think especially of, like, professional, like, experts. Lots of people just, like, freaking out. On the broadcast, if you listen to the British broadcast, you could hear Genus is emotional. They don't show him, but you could tell he was emotional after the Lucas's winner. Glenn Hoddle's talking about how he had a recent health scare and he's glad that he was around to see this. Steve Nash, for our British listeners, is an American basketball player who's born in Tottenham, or a Canadian basketball player who's born in Tottenham, who's been a lifelong Spurs fan. He runs off the set of the American broadcast, comes back, and is clearly having trouble holding it together. This win meant so much to so many people, and I'm so glad that I was around for it as well. It's just like, oh, it was so nice. It was so good. It felt so good. Like you said, Ben, I didn't know sports could still make me feel this way, and it's so great.
I mean, you were a huge downer.
I was. Like, I was enormously negative about this game. I absolutely was.
I mean, you were down yesterday after Liverpool. You were down today during the match. Like, how do you feel now? If let's say we lose the Champions League finals, do you feel better? Are you good about?
I'm good. I think it will.
Spurs are.
I think the reality of dealing with Liverpool fans shoving this up my ass for the rest of our lives is gonna bother me on some level. But after today, I don't think it's gonna. I'm just being here is it feels so good right now. And like I said, maybe reality will sink in as we get closer and I get more nervous. And I have to sit and watch it, and I won't be able to hide in my office watching at that time. But I don't know. They pulled off what they did today. Felt so good. I'm not sure even Liverpool beating us is gonna completely ruin this for me, because part of what it was, you watch what Liverpool did yesterday, and I was just like, we never do that. We'll never have a moment like that. We just have to settle for these bullshit moral victories and just be happy to be at the party. And I know. If we don't beat Liverpool, that's kind of what's going on. But just getting to the final feels like such an accomplishment in a way that even being in the semifinal doesn't. We'll see. I don't think I could be as down on this team about the final as I was coming into today. But yeah, I'm on cloud nine right now. This is fantastic. It was so fun. It was so good.
Yeah.
I love you guys. I love you guys. This is so much fun.
This is the best. It's hard to imagine topping this, but I guess Champions League final.
It's not that hard to imagine topping this. It's hard to imagine what that would feel like, but
I think that's the right way of phrasing it. Yes. It's easy to imagine the thing that it would take to make this better, but I don't know how it would feel.
Yeah, because obviously winning would. I mean, I remember a scant 9 years ago watching Peter Crouch head in that goal against Man City to qualify us for the Champions League, and I was like, this is it. We're at the top of the mountain. It's not going to get better. We've made it. We're in the Champions League. And earlier today, I was feeling mad that we might not be in a Champions League final. And I don't know how my brain can process, you know, all of those feelings, but it's just unreal to be here.
That's a good way of putting it. It feels.
If we actually win it, I don't even know.
It feels. You're right. It feels strange, almost like it's just. I don't even have words for it. It didn't feel like this was possible, and here we are.
Yeah.
It's so great. I know we're just rambling at this point. This is incoherent. We're coming up on an hour. We should probably wrap it up, but I'm just enjoying this. This felt so good, you guys.
I mean, you know, like, I'm a fan of a team that won, like, a baseball team that won the World Series recently.
Shut up.
And, whatever. Got to bring it up when I get a chance. And it definitely, like, we were a long-suffering team, too. And so, like, it felt great and it felt cathartic. And I definitely, you know, was in tears at the time. But I don't think it felt as good as this. And, like, that's a team that I've been a fan of for, you know, since I was 3 or 4 years old. I can't imagine what winning a Champions League title would feel like.
I don't know what it would be like if the Orioles ever won a World Series. They were probably the team I've supported the longest and the hardest, but I this is maybe with one or two exceptions in my sporting life. I can't think of many moments that are better than this.
What are those moments?
Maybe with the Orioles, when the Orioles finally got back to the playoffs and I got to watch them qualify with my dad, like that might be it, because we were a bad team for about 14 years and the Orioles are something I do with my father, so that meant a lot to me. But I just,
you know, I like the Ravens, but I've seen them win two Super Bowls, but I've never cared about the Ravens as much as I care about Spurs or the Orioles. You know, this felt like a big deal, but I don't think I got as emotional as I got over this. Ben, I know you saw your boyhood team, Atlanta United, win a title last year, but I don't know. Have you had any moments as meaningful as this?
I mean, my wife, the Arsenal fan, looked at me in the stands at the Atlanta United MLS Cup championship and said, you know, like, how great is this? Would you rather this or Spurs win anything? And I was like, unquestionably Spurs. And I feel better today getting to the Champions League final than I did watching Atlanta United win a championship. You know, I feel better than I did for any Yankees World Series. Sorry, yes, I'm a Yankees fan. I definitely feel better than watching UGA blow a national championship and the Falcons blow a Super Bowl in the span of a year.
I mean, but doesn't watching Frank DeBoer manage Atlanta United now feel so much better than this? Isn't finally getting to see Frank DeBoer lead a team that you love, isn't that really worth more than any trophy?
We finally started winning games. We are not the worst team in MLS anymore. So thank you very much.
I mean, you finally get to experience it on your Wheeler Dealer Radio South podcast or whatever. You can talk about Frank DeBoer all the time now. It must be a really rewarding experience for you.
I mean, look, we are now seventh in the East after beating Toronto tonight, which I definitely did not watch because I was too focused on what happened with Spurs. But, you know, Frank DeBoer is a very good manager and replace Pochettino when he leaves for Madrid next year.
I can't wait for AVB to manage an MLS, like Greg suggested this morning.
We're going to save that for its own podcast. I am so excited at that possibility. Can you imagine what AVB has to learn about, like the salary allocation system or whatever the
But how can I sign Hulk? That's the real question here. I just need to know
how much money can I give Hulk? All right, yeah. We're going to wrap it up. This has been, guys, I'm so glad we all got to experience this, at least, if not in the same place, together in a sense. This was so much fun. I hope we're having a lot more fun in a few weeks. But it's pretty crazy that we're here. I feel like this has turned into the Chris Farley show for the last 20 minutes. I hope our listeners have toughed it out with us.
Hey, do you guys remember that time we won a Champions League semifinal?
It was pretty great.
That was awesome.
Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Comrade U Spurs on Twitter. Delirious about being in a Champions League final.
Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Brian_Ashlock. It's Brian with a Y on Twitter. And you can check me out on Facebook, where I'm definitely not sending you messages about my multi-level marketing schemes.
And you can find me on Twitter at Skipjack0079, where I am posting lots of memes about Tottenham Hotspur because I'm very happy about them. So, for Ben, for Brian, and of course, for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Guys, we're in the motherfucking Champions League final. Come on, you Spurs.